So I'm going to be talking about work that I did before I went back to school when I was working at Altarum Institute, which is a nonprofit in DC that focuses on maternal and child health and substance abuse and mental health. And specifically, I'm going to be talking about a project that was funded through the Altarum's mission project, the Childhood Obesity Mission Project. And we wanted to identify environmental supports and barriers to physical activity in DC child care centers. So before I get into the project details, I want to give just a little bit of context. So first of all, more and more public health professionals and policymakers are recognizing that child care centers are really an ideal setting for obesity prevention. This is for a couple of main reasons. One is the reach can be huge. So many children attend child care, as you can see, almost 80% of preschoolers and just under half of toddlers. And there's also a sense that because early childhood is considered a developmentally sensitive period of life, that reaching children early can help set them on a positive trajectory. And this is certainly the case in DC, as there's a lot of need in DC. The rates of overweight and obesity are higher in DC than the national average. And there are almost 23,000 children enrolled in licensed child care centers in the district. And so not only are public health professionals and policymakers recognizing this, but increasingly states and municipalities are developing and implementing child care policies to promote nutrition and increase physical activity and limit screen time. And so DC was poised to join and do the same. And so when we did this study, which was not last summer, but the summer before, they were thinking about developing their own standards for their child care licensing. And right now, the standards are currently have been proposed, and that now they're open for comment. And so our purpose was to help inform the development and implementation of these standards for the district. And so we, along with our partners, DC Hunger Solutions, conducted an environmental scan of 26 child development centers in the district. And we had a couple of main goals in doing this. One was to assess where these centers currently are. So what's the baseline for their nutrition and physical activity related practices? And also assess what is their capacity for moving forward. So not only where they are, but where can they realistically go? And finally, to elicit the perspectives of the providers themselves on what supports they need to improve physical activity. And so, like I said, we partnered with DC Hunger Solutions, and we really split the analysis. So DC Hunger Solutions did the analysis of nutrition and the reporting of that, and we at Altarum did the physical activity and screen time reporting. And so our environmental scan consisted of these three methods. One was a questionnaire that the child care directors filled out themselves, and that was really just to assess their readiness. And the second was an in-depth interview guide that we went through with the child care directors, and we talked about their current practices related to screen time and physical activity, and we tried to draw out their perspectives on what they felt about some hypothetical policies that DC was looking at the time and their feelings about barriers and supports for implementing such policies. And finally, when we went to the centers to do those environmental scans, we used a physical infrastructure observation instrument to assess the center's actual environment. And so that's really what I'm going to be focusing on today. Oops, I keep going the wrong way. So like I said, we had 26 centers participate, and we chose that number on purpose, and that was really because we had a limited amount of time, so we wanted to do a good job with the time that we had, and we also wanted to explore some of the reasons for reasons why they could implement physical activity or some possible barriers among different types of centers. So the figure on the left shows you the different types of centers that we looked at, and I won't get into all the details on this, but we mostly looked at CACFP participating centers, and so those are centers that are enrolled in the child and adult care food program, and those serve mostly lower income kids because they have to have kids who are on who have child care subsidies. We also looked at non-participating centers, but those who still had a lot of subsidy spots, and we also looked at centers, a couple who served a mostly higher income population. Furthermore, we looked across the different quality rating tiers in DC. And so DC quality rating tiers go gold, silver, and bronze. And as you can see on the right, we had a pretty good spread across the wards in DC. With the exception of Ward 3, which you'll notice, and that's really because Ward 3 is the most wealthy ward, and so we didn't expect to get as many centers from there. And so now I'm going to get into our results a little bit. So first off, we asked the child care directors how much physical activity their kids were doing, and we broke it down here by structured physical activity and unstructured. And the blue bars are for toddlers, times reported for toddlers, and the red bars are time reported for preschoolers. An important caveat, though, as we look at this, is that this was time reported by center directors. We didn't observe this. And there have been numerous studies that caution that when it is reported by the directors, they greatly overestimate the amount of time that the kids are doing. So just a huge caveat as we look at these numbers. But as you can see, for structured physical activity, most of the center directors reported that the toddlers spend half an hour or less in structured physical activity, and preschoolers spend 45 minutes or less. And then for unstructured, there was a lot, the times reported were much higher, and children were reported to spend, in general, over an hour and a half in unstructured physical activity per day. But as we talked about, this doesn't occur in a vacuum. So these times are really determined by a large extent by the environmental context that these centers have to operate within. And so in addition to asking about physical activity, we also assess the center's external environment, including the physical infrastructure, their neighborhood, and the play equipment available. So first I'm going to talk about the on-site space at the center. And first we looked at indoor space that was suitable for physical activity. And as you can see, only a third, just over a third of centers had indoor space that was large enough to support activities like running around. And it got even a little bit more dramatic as we look at the on-site space for outdoor. And this was really the most surprising for me when we went to the centers and we found that over a third of them actually didn't even have an outdoor space at all. And when you put together, along with the dark blue pie slice, the red and the green pie slice, you see that over 50% of the centers don't have enough space outside for running around. And this was really surprising because when I think of childhood and early childhood, you think about kids running around outdoors. But when you consider the space limitations of a city like DC, and then you consider that these centers are really under-resourced, it starts to make more sense that they really don't have a lot to work with right there on their site. And so that is one of the reasons why off-site space becomes so important to them. And we asked them if they made use of the nearby public parks. And nearly all of the centers we visited made use of these parks. But in the same breath, they talked to us about their concerns about the safety of these parks. 35% said that the center's neighborhood was not safe. And this became even more of a problem when you looked at those centers who really needed to use those parks because they didn't have an on-site outdoor play space of their own. And when you looked at those, over half of them had real concerns about the neighborhood safety. And you can see in the blue boxes up there some of their quotes of concerns about trash and more serious concerns about finding needles and knives on the playgrounds. So hopefully by now I've showed you that it's a major challenge to do physical activity in a lot of these DC child care centers. And so for this reason, it really takes some proactive staff. And there were concerns that the center directors voiced about their staff not really being engaged with the kids and not knowing how to do this physical activity, not knowing how to initiate it. So we asked them about training that was done. We asked them, did they receive any physical activity training? No physical activity training. They did receive physical activity training. We asked them if they had received a training called SCOOP, which was being implemented at the time that we were doing this study. And that's a modified version of the Head Start's I Am Moving, I Am Learning physical activity training for childcare staff. And we hypothesized that maybe if they had gotten physical activity training, they would report more time spent in structured physical activity. And you can see that, it appears to be the case if you compare any to no physical activity training. And then especially if you look at Scoop, you see some pretty high numbers there. But then we thought, well, actually those 9 centers who received Scoop training, 5 of them were Head Start centers. And those were only 5 Head Start centers in the study. So we thought, well, maybe it's the Head Start centers that are really doing a good job because they tend to receive more resources. But when we pulled them out, the association was still there. It decreased slightly from 78 to 56, but there was still an increase over receiving no physical activity training at all or receiving physical activity training other than Scoop. So this could suggest that maybe there is something about this particular kind of physical activity training. It isn't just a one-time training. They have follow-ups. They come into the center. So it's a little bit more hands-on. It's practical. It's culturally. They made it culturally appropriate for DC kids. So it could be that there's something about Scoop, but this is just a speculation because there could be other important characteristics that centers who receive Scoop vary between centers who didn't, and we didn't examine those. And so overall, we found that childcare providers, they supported a district wellness policy that would set daily physical activity minimums. But as I've shown you, they had some real concerns about barriers. And so we made some recommendations to DC about these barriers, and I'm gonna go through some of them now quickly. Their main barrier that we heard over and over from them was, of course, the limited indoor and outdoor play space. And so we recommended that grant money be made available for constructing on-site outdoor playgrounds, similar to Head Start, Body Start grants. And also citywide initiatives in Boston and here in Denver actually have had success in forming public-private partnerships that extend grants to childcare centers and schools to build these play spaces. Additionally, there's been a lot of energy behind joint use agreements as a relatively low resource way to increase access to school playgrounds, parks, rec facilities. And then, of course, with their park safety concerns, we recommended that DC maybe step up some park maintenance and police presence to parks that are frequently used by these childcare centers. And then in regards to the limited knowledge or motivation among teachers, we suggested that they expand physical activity training and professional development that is high quality, that isn't just a one-time training, to reach all CACFP participating child development centers and eventually all child development centers in the district. And so I would like to thank the team at Alt-Harm Institute, DC Hunger Solutions, the CACFP staff in the DC government, and of course all of our child development center directors and staff. Thanks.
We do have some time for questions.
Mm-hmm. There's other work that I was doing which relates to linking violence and chronic disease prevention, and we did a study which might be helpful to you, which show that, not surprisingly, that people are far less physically active and discourage their children to be physically active, mm-hmm. and it's not safe. But when we looked at the solution of just police presence or park maintenance really, really seemed inadequate. And, you know, I'm just wondering about the recommendation, and given the breadth of the people you're working with, whether that recommendation came from community members or whether it was your recommendation, and whether there are ways to broaden the thinking to talk about the kinds of coherent strategies that I think can produce more permanent parks change, both for this purpose and for broader other purposes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a really good point, because you said like throwing some police there, some maintenance there, that's not gonna solve the problem. What center directors said was that most of all, they wanted a space at their center. They wanted a safe space at their center. And so they had even gotten they had gotten blueprints to put spaces on the roof. I mean, they were really creative to take away parking lot and put their space there. That was their number one. But they did want the government to be more responsive about the parks, because they call. They go to the park, they send a staff member to the park, scope it out. If it's not clean, they call. There was one director who called every single day. And finally it got solved, and now she uses that park. But they did want... There was some who wanted a more responsive government.
Yeah,
I just want to second what Larry was talking about, and it could be because we've done some of this work in my area too, that the part or the center directors often don't live in the community and don't have the same sense of what would help change the community. And a lot of times people don't know because they haven't had those experiences of what it takes to change a park, the community effort of getting engaged in the park, getting the cultural activities in the park. And, you know, it's complex, which includes your recommendations, but includes broader recommendations too. So if it was the parents who came up with it, then I would think, you know, the parent councils, they may have had different and more nuanced kinds of things that the next people would be. I think your recommendations are important. It's just broadening.
Yeah, I agree. And with the exception of the higher income centers, the directors at the lower income centers, they actually did live in the neighborhoods.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.